Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit. Tomb of the Serpent Kings is not easy. It's designed by Skirples to be an instructional kind of adventure. There's loads of design notes in there. It's not particularly long. I've got a copy of it here. It runs not 20 pages of text. There's a couple of sheets on the map at the back, so map at the front, you know, roughly 20 pages. There's a 2-page introduction. And let's just read a section here. This dungeon is designed to be classic without being full of callbacks and nostalgia. It has some, but not all of the major tropes. It is also full of design notes. Now, anybody who's a regular listener or kind of gets on Audio Dungeon or has talked to me perhaps for any length of time will know I love design notes. I love them. Part of the reason why Ben Milton's stuff strikes a chord with me is because he's quite often prepared to put down some of his thinking when he writes a game. So, yeah, awesome. Goes on to say, this module is for 1, experienced GMs with new players, 2, GMs who want to learn more about dungeon design, and 3, experienced GMs with experienced players but who are new to OSR-style content. As a completely new GM, you can still use this dungeon and learn a lot from it, but it will test your skills immediately. Experienced players may also enjoy it. Then it says, I disagree with. Chances are pretty good that an experienced GM will disagree with a few lessons, traps or encounters in this dungeon. That's completely fine. This isn't a handbook on the one true way to run a beginner dungeon. It's just one way to do it. If you think diplomacy is vital, put a helpful but cowardly goblin named Smee in room 7, the False Temple. If you think time pressure and a sense of looming danger are important from the start, add wandering monsters to all levels of the dungeon, not just level 3. If you don't like snakes, replace them with goats. Add folklore tropes, or add your favourite traps, or remove the traps entirely. By disagreeing, you're learning something about your own preferences. Learning what you don't like is as valuable as learning what you do like. Maybe this module will inspire you to write a learning dungeon of your own. Now, I thought this was a really cool thing to have in an introduction. Straight away, suggesting how you can hack it and modify it, and who doesn't like that? It's really helpful, especially to, like it says, to some of the newer dungeon masters. I'd love to see something like this a bit more often in books, because as a reader, you know, sometimes you come to a product, if you're a little bit inexperienced and you feel like it's sort of sacred, and you've got to do it right, and you've got to do justice to the design, etc., etc. I've been there, I know how it is. It's only with experience that you begin to sort of hack things and change them and get that confidence to kind of put your own mark on a game or an adventure. So it's good that the designer has put that up front, really like it. It talks briefly about balance and says there isn't any. That's the bottom line. You can write, it's designed for first level characters, but I don't really know how they can say that exactly. It's, this would be brutal, really, whatever level you're going at. There's that much stuff that's sort of save or die or reliant on your saving throws. You know, this is a challenge for anybody, you know, unless you're approaching a godlike status. So bear that in mind. The thing is, most of this dungeon can be tackled if you just spend a bit of time figuring out a plan. That is the bottom line, and that is what they're encouraging with the design. There isn't a lot of combat. There are some interesting monsters and things like that. It's designed to be as system neutral as possible. So there's like bare bones stats. And one thing I would suggest is just get your monsters straightened out at the beginning before you try and run it. I was running it a little bit on the fly because I was trying this idea of cutting back on the prep and just trying to use the information in the module plus sort of some basic fantasy stuff. And sometimes that, it didn't really trip me up, but it meant I was a little bit less than comfortable with a couple of the things in there. Having said that, they are really interesting monsters. There's a couple of big bads in there. It's a big serpent thing that basically I swapped out. And there's another mystery character in there, which I'm not going to spoil because I've got a feeling some of my players will want to come back. They've explored, I'd say, you know, the majority of it, but they know as well as I do that there's more down there. There's these like fungus goblin things that are really quite tricksy. They call them griblies. They've just kind of avoided them. So there's a sort of a potentially a whole situation there that could be explored. They know they've got treasure. They've robbed the crown off them. Perhaps we haven't heard the end of that, but that, you know, this tomb has got some treasures in it, and they know full well that they have not got them all. Having said that, whether they want to risk their lives again, because I tell you, there's some deadly, deadly traps. If you go rushing into this dungeon, you will get owned and punished severely. I think that's not a problem. If characters learn from that, they've already come out of the dungeon talking about, oh, we could have been more prepared. We perhaps should have got some better equipment. In fairness, I didn't really give them the chance to titivate with their equipment too much because I wanted to sort of kick the adventure off. So just sort of started off with the question, you know, you're standing at this sarcophagus. What do you want to do? You're in this underground thing. And then I just sort of like asked them a few questions and we just took it from there. Right at the beginning, they could have just turned around and said, ah, we're going to leave. We don't feel equipped for this. You know, maybe they felt a little bit of a sort of a social contract to kind of play the game and explore the dungeon. And yeah, that was fair enough. One of the first traps that caused the initial fatality was near the start. It's basically at the end of the first corridor going in. They were actually quite flummoxed about how to open the door. At that point, I think they were maybe wondering if there were some other secret doors around. And it looked like they were maybe going to kind of carry out a bit more of a thorough search. But then they actually came up with an idea for opening a door, which, as it turned out, led to this fatality, like I say. So I've talked about this idea that it's a learning dungeon. The designer's got a paragraph as part of the introduction called Lessons, and I'm going to read this out to you. Every room, trap or encounter is designed to teach new players and GMs a useful lesson. Some are general, while others are specific to this dungeon. Attentive players should begin to understand the structure, nature and dangers of the tomb so they can begin to predict and exploit it for their own game. These lessons might seem trite for experienced GMs, but I think it's useful to list them anyways. So let me give you an example of one of these lessons that I'm talking about. Room 12, the tomb of Zor the Green. This is where Arfed's character got killed. The passage into this room contains a pressure plate that triggers a lightning bolt spell aimed straight down the hallway. It deals 4d6 damage, save for half, and only activates once. The electrum disc it fires from is worth 10 GP. It is embedded in the wall at the end of the tomb's entrance and may be visible in torchlight when the PCs open the door. Zor's stone coffin is empty. And then in the box text there's a lesson. Sometimes floors are trapped. Traps are often deadly. Treat unknown rooms with caution. Simple but effective, I think. There's loads of these little call-outs. I mean, that one is a really sort of basic one, but some of them are really quite interesting, and I think that adds a lot of value to an adventure product like this one. These interesting monsters and all these lessons that I'm talking about, they rely on a structure, and the structure is another strong point for this adventure. It's clearly laid out in the introduction, and I'm going to read it to you. Tomb of the Serpent Kings is a buried dungeon with three levels and four main themed areas. There are no read-aloud text boxes. Level 1, the false tomb. This level introduces the very basics of dungeon design and exploration in seven rooms. Assuming character creation is fairly quick and the PCs have a good reason to explore the tomb, it's just the right length for a first session. Level 2, the upper tomb. Lessons learned in the false tomb are tested and applied in the upper tomb. There is still a clear path forwards, but branching side rooms are tempting. It may take 2 or 3 sessions to fully explore and possibly require a trip back to civilization to resupply. The lower tombs, level 3, branch and loop with 2 main horizontal paths and 3 main vertical paths. The PCs can reach the surface or go deeper or even end up back where they started. This level is significantly more dangerous than the preceding levels. Dungeon diplomacy and trade also come into play, as do wandering monsters. Level 3 is open-ended. You can add materials to extend the dungeon as far as you like. By this point, if you're a new GM or new to ISR games, you should be ready to write your own material. This breakdown is super useful. Only trouble was, I kind of passed by it initially, and if I'd have paid a little bit more attention to what the designer was saying, this would have really helped me out. I think I might have encouraged the players to go and resupply and pay more attention to the resource management, which is, you know, such a key part of old school play. I've always been fairly lenient on the bookkeeping, and I think that probably detracted a little bit from the adventure. We've got some good tension and a sort of a timing mechanic based on the players' availability of light. So they were running out of light, they were pretty aware of it, but I think, in all honesty, they had 2 overnight stops down underground. I don't think they had enough water. Not sure about food. And I think we could have done with counting arrows a little bit more. But that's something I'm taking away from this. We'll bear it in mind for future play. So there's an aspect I haven't touched on yet, and that is maps. There's a map on page 3, there's an overview map. Then towards the back, there's a 2-page map with like little summaries of what's in each room. So you've got like this 2-page spread that makes it like a 1-page dungeon. You could basically run the adventure off of this double-page spread, which is awesome. And then throughout the adventure, you've got like something you see more often now is these little map excerpts of, you know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 rooms near the descriptions of the specific rooms. So you kind of can keep your bearings as you're going through the book. You know, that's super handy at the table. I think they are actually Dyson Logos maps. I was going to say in the style of, but I think he did actually do them. That's about as much as I want to say. I'm conscious that I've gone on. any questions, you know, call in and we can discuss some of the points in a little bit more detail. But yeah, to summarise, interesting monsters, super nice, clean layout and well organised. A good kind of classic three-level structure with each level having its own kind of flavour and purpose. There's some nifty magic items and artifacts. Not really involved, but just interesting. In particular, there's like this snake ring that when the wearer puts it on, the nail of that finger grows out and becomes like a bifurcated split nail that then can deliver a venomous attack. But the drawback is it's cursed, and after a day of wearing it, the character starts getting poisoned. So, you know, it's just little things like that, little touches. This adventure is free. It's by Skirples. You can pick it up on DriveThruRPG. And I would suggest anyone at least give it a look over. It's brilliant. I don't know what else to say. Also, if you want to have a look at another review, Ben Milton's got one up on Questing Beast, which is where I heard about it. So, yeah, check that out too.
And that, as they say, is a wrap. Big thanks goes out to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.